Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and a daily editorial where we are going to focus on the energy sector, as I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher. He writes the Schatcher Energy Report and also has his new report, which is called Eye on Energy, which is free for everybody if you want to sign up. And it just provides, actually quite simply, the fundamentals, the data that comes out of the energy sector, trying to make light of it and trying to help everybody understand maybe how that data will lead to future price moves. Now, Joseph, you and I have been chatting over the last few months, and we've both been on the record saying, look, we're bearish on the energy price, or on the oil price more specifically. However, the oil price has more or less held up fairly well. September, fine, we've started to get some weakness in the first week of September. Crude dropped down to about $36 a barrel. And even this week, we saw a little bit of weakness at the start of the week when everything sold off. But still, oil, crude continues to hang right around this $40 a barrel level. Give us your thoughts. How crude is still remaining fairly resilient?
Yeah, crude is staying between 36 and 43. And the reason it's doing that is the issue of, on the positive side, good news about the vaccine. J&J's announcing this week, you know, that they were closer to stage three and moving on it. That was helpful. The other part was demand picked up in the United States. But offsetting that, you had storage that was supposed to come down 3.3 million barrels, only came down 1.6, and it was because exports increased. But you still have demand down for jet fuel, and gasoline demand is pretty weak in the United States. The basic issue is that the assumption is that we would be probably by now getting close to 95, 96 million barrels. And the data is showing that we're more like 92, 93 million barrels. So we're going to start seeing builds in inventory during September, October, November until winter. And OPEC has been raising production, and that really is going to cause some problems going forward. Just to give you the numbers from the most recent data, you had in the month of July, OPEC raised production by 980,000 barrels, of which Saudi Arabia was 866,000 barrels. And in August, OPEC raised production by 763,000 barrels, and Saudi Arabia was 475,000 of that. So OPEC is producing in August 24 million, but OPEC itself says that the call on OPEC, in other words, the demand out there minus the non-OPEC production minus OPEC NGLs, is 22 million. So if they're producing, 24 million, and the demand is only 22.6 is the exact number, and there's 1.4 million barrels of excess production, that's really the big issue for it. And I think that we're looking at inventories starting to build, and that's going to cause weakness going forward. Since, if you remember, in March, we had a buy signal. In June, we said sell. We were overinvested. The S&P TSX index was 96. Today, we're looking at an index which is down over 30% from that high when we said take some profits. The index today is 66.11, down 2.5% on the day. So we're looking at an index that's already come down a lot, and we think that the index could go below 40, and stocks still have a lot of downside. So we're saying hold cash, wait for the great buying opportunity. The general market hasn't really come down that much, as you mentioned. It's down really only about, the Dow high was 29.2, the low was 26.5, so about a 10% decline there. And some of for the month of September, the technology-related FANG names are down 13 to 15%. So that's where the leadership is coming for the decline. But I think as we get closer to the U.S. election and it gets messier, I think that's when we're going to be starting to see some real problems. And if third quarter results come out and they're very bad, and I think they will be, the guidance is really the thing that everybody wants to see. That's going to be when I think we start seeing severe downside. And I think the Dow potentially could go down to the lows that we saw during March. So that's a significant decline that could happen during Q4 of 2020.
Okay, so maybe broad weakness in the markets that could also hit the energy sector. And it also does tie into the whole question mark of, no, are we going to get more shutdowns due to this COVID virus? It's tough to know for sure, but markets were a little uneasy this week. Aren't the stocks telling you, though, that we should have lower oil prices? Usually the stocks do lead underlying commodities. And even as you outlined, stocks have been quite weak here.
Yeah, the Suncor, for example, because they had some production difficulties, that stock's really been hurt. But Suncor is now at $16.57. The stock, just going back into June, was at $29. So that's a pretty nasty hit. We're seeing the same with other oily-related names. The best area that's doing well is the natural gas sector, which we've talked about for a long time as being our favorite sector. And that area is doing quite well. Tourmaline's doing well. Birchcliff, other names have had a good had good response and are positive for the year versus the majority of stocks in the index that are quite negative. So my view is people should just be patient, find the names that they'd like to own, wait for them to come down into the fourth quarter. Tax loss selling season this year is going to be nasty, and we'll get some great buying opportunities then. And my view, just to go back to March, the index recovered in March from that 3880 to that 96. That's almost 150% increase. We had a lot of stocks that doubled, tripled, and quadrupled, which were pretty fabulous. I think the bottom that we're going to get here at the end of this year, and if there is an announcement of vaccine that becomes readily available in Q1, Q2 of next year, I think people will start traveling again once they can have the vaccine, and I think we could see $60, $70 WTI potentially in the second half of 2021. That would then give us a multi-year bullish environment, and the index, if it bottoms below 40, I think we could see the index at 200-300 within a couple of years, and maybe even testing the high at 470 that we reached in 08 if we do see any disruption of supply and the price of crude gets over 100. So it's like gold going back a few years ago. Nobody wanted to touch it and was talking negatively about it. And then, you know, look what's happened over the last 2 or 3 years in gold. We've had a new all-time high in gold and palladium, platinum, and the stocks have done exceedingly well. There's a correction going on now, maybe to, you know, 1700 on gold. But the reality is the sector's done extremely well. And again, like anything, you wait for pullbacks and be a buyer there. I think the basic issue here is the Fed wants inflation. And with the lack of capital investment in the commodity sectors, both softs and the hard commodities, I think, you know, you've seen copper recover very nicely from the lows. Zinc has done well. Nickel's going to be doing well because, of course, if you have electric vehicles become a bigger player, nickel does well. So I think we're looking at a lot of commodity inflation in the next 5 years. Having investments in the raw material sector and including energy is going to be very rewarding over the next 5 years.
Interesting. Okay, so just commodities in general. We even have, as you said, started to see not just precious metals, but also base metals move to levels that they are price levels higher than pre-pandemic, which is kind of crazy to think about considering what the economies are doing, but that's what the market has given us. How has the U.S. dollar and its decline outside of this week played a role in also supporting generally higher energy prices, or at least oil prices?
Yeah, the dollar, it's, you know, they're counters, they go counter to each other. So if you have a decline in the U.S. dollar, gold takes off, and you also have, the crude oil price go off. Anything that's priced in U.S. dollars, if the U.S. dollar weakens, well, then for people buying in yen or in euro, so that's a reaction. I think, though, you're going to see that if the U.S. market does break down, and I'm watching 26,500 on the Dow, so we're 400 or 500 points away from that. If we breach that level, I think we could go down, as I said, below the 20,000 and into the lows of March of this year. And if you remember, from early February to the third week of March, you know, we had a massive decline from 29,000 to 18,000. So if the U.S. election is very nasty, we don't get a vaccine announced that people trust, during this October, November, December window, tax loss selling comes in, then we could have a very nasty period here. But my recommendation to people is be patient, hold cash. If you're overinvested now, use days of weakness to lower your exposure. And if you're using margin on long positions, I think you got a problem. And so be careful or you're going to get hurt badly. But I think that you want to be ready for the buy signal that comes later this year and be ready for a multi-year bull market, because I do believe we will have, from the science side, a vaccine sometime during Q1, Q2 that becomes more readily available throughout 2021.
Okay, so you're playing that narrative too. What about the election in the U.S.? Do you see that causing volatility, causing any trend to develop even more so for the energy sector?
I think the key is going to be, if there's more China bashing by President Trump, and then China doesn't fulfill its obligation to be buying U.S. natural gas, shale gas, and you have other issues with China. I think that could be a problem. If Libya brings on more production, that of course is going to be a problem. So to me, politics will be a part of it. And again, the issue here of if the election is indecisive on election night, where Trump has, let's say, more of his people show up at the ballot, and then the absentee ballots and the military ballots get added in afterwards, and then it turns the election to Biden, I think he, as he said, he may not respect that, and that would cause a lot of problems, because if he says that the election was fraudulent, as he mentioned yesterday, that will make things very difficult. So I think that's part of why I think the U.S. market potentially here could be very nasty, because the markets don't like uncertainty. And if we don't know on November 3rd who's the president, we don't have any idea until, December, the Electoral College, and you don't have any idea until January when the inauguration is supposed to occur and it has to go to the Supreme Court. That would be a very ugly environment for the U.S. economy and the U.S. stock market.
Yeah, and just adds that continued uncertainty, right? And markets do not like uncertainty. However, it has just been very interesting to see oil still broadly hang up there, even with all these bearish calls. So I feel like a breakdown.
I'd be watching $36, and if we'd go and break $36, then I think that's going to be where we start seeing the meltdown in oil. So I'd keep an eye on that 36 level, and that's really the key for me on price to watch. Right now, we're still in that trading range here, but if we start seeing a build in U.S. inventories, if we hear that Libya is coming back on, if we hear that OPEC cheating and raises production again in the next OPEC report, all of that's going to add to problems for the price of oil. So a break of 36 is the thing to keep an eye on for the shakeout to finish, and my guess is how low we go will be determined on, number one, the political situation in the States and how ugly it is, and two, is there or is there not a vaccine sometime during November and December so it's available in early 2021? Because the demand for energy is related to a vaccine. Are you going to start flying until you know there's a vaccine and you know its effectiveness?
Yeah, very good point. All right, Joseph, thanks for your comments. A little bit of a focus here on the energy sector. Again, I will post a link to your website where people can sign up for the Schatcher Energy Report and also that Eye on Energy. Joseph, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure, Corey. Good to be with you again.